it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Are the Orioles in Cleveland tonight to open up a three-game series against the Indians. And the Orioles come in tonight. They've won 10 out of 14. Hey, that's pretty good. Now, the Indians, they come in tonight. They've won 15 consecutive games. All right, then. Into Rockabacco with the skipper, Buck Showalter, as we continue with the manager's report right after this.
Rockabacco with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Finished up the homestand yesterday, losing 2-3 to the Yankees. But there was a 12-7 stretch there, and an important stretch. Do you feel like that was enough to kind of get the guys in a position now where you need to be to make a run at this thing?
Well, Rock, I think it's going to be there for us. It's going to require some really good baseball, especially against some really good teams we're playing. But, you'd like for it to been even more. But, I think we put ourselves in position to continue to play meaningful games and have a chance at this thing, because it's going to be, there's going to be some real challenges for all the clubs as we go down the stretch.
I know it always goes back to starting pitching. The rotation's only totaled 13 and a third innings these last four games. Are we back to, again, where you talk about it, where it starts with the starting pitching and you're going to have better efforts if you're going to move forward?
Well, that's been a challenge for us all year. And, our bullpen's been pretty solid. It's just able to get through that fifth or sixth inning with engaged in the score of the game. And that'll obviously be a big challenge for against the Cleveland Indians, who, they're leading the league in starting pitching and relief pitching and one of the better offensive teams. Just a well-put-together club.
I wanted to ask you more about them. They won 15 in a row, which is even hard to comprehend at this level. Do you kind of feel like, okay, well, you hope they're due. You can't expect them to run the table in September.
Well, I tell you, with the starting pitching they have six or seven starting pitchers, and they're able to move it around. They're starting to try to get all their people healthy for the playoffs, and what allows you to win those type of games is the great starting pitching that they have. They run a guy that a lot of people would consider their number one starter out there every night.
Rockabacco back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, J.J. Hardy off the 60-day DL today. What does it mean to have him back on the roster, back in the clubhouse here as an active player? And I know you're going to get asked this a lot. He's on the bench tonight. How do you work him back in with the way Tim Beckham's playing?
Well, J.J., I'll give you an example. I walk in the clubhouse just to make sure he went through some work today and he's ready to go. And I had to wait till he got through talking with Tim Beckham. He spent a lot of time with Tim, and he's been instrumental with Jonathan Scope and Manny. That it's just it's a pleasure to have him back and active, and knowing that he's there, and he'll make a contribution to us through the course of the rest of the season. And anytime you can add J.J. Hardy to a roster, you got to feel confident.
Austin Hayes made his major league debut yesterday in right field, had an at-bat, saw from seven pitches before he grounded out. I know it's a very small sample size, but did you like the way he kind of hung in there against a tough pitcher, seven pitches, and also in the shadows?
Of course. It's a very minute sampling, but you want to get that one out of the way. He handled himself well and ran a good time down the line on a little jailbreak run, where he's out over the plate moving out of there. So, you do keep in mind in a tough game how big a moment that was for him. He presented himself well.
And, Buck, we were talking about the rotation moving forward. Chris Tillman now back in the bullpen, at least for now. Was he dealing with something with his wrist, and is he available now? And is this kind of where you're just shuffling guys depending on matchups and trying to keep guys fresh?
Well, we don't have enough separation with our guys, so we're kind of doing matchups, and we're also trying to, maybe get fortunate in some roles with some people not knowing some guys. And it's just like Ubaldo pitching Monday. If the right situation presents itself, I don't think Chris's physical issues have anything to do with his pitching, and he's available yesterday and today, but it is something I try to keep in mind. But he's fine, ready to go, and chances are he'll start again.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
In Cleveland tonight, game time temperature about 64 degrees, first of a three-game series. Indians right now, the hottest team in the game. Should be fun. Ben McDonald joins us in Cleveland. He's next when we continue with the warm-up show right after this. Joe Angel, Ben McDonald back in Cleveland. Tonight, the Orioles and the Indians in the first of a three-game series. I mentioned the Orioles come in. They won 10 out of 14. Normally, that's pretty good, right? Well, the Indians come in. They won 15 consecutive games. And in those victories, they've outscored opponents 109-28. And the Indians, are coming off a road trip in which they went 11-0. I kid you not. So the Indians, why have they been so good of late? Well, we're going to find out. Ben McDonald, he visited with longtime Indians broadcaster Tom Hamilton. You're going to hear that conversation when we continue. Ben McDonald and Tom Hamilton when we continue from Cleveland on the Orioles Radio Network.
Ben McDonald here on the Orioles Radio pregame show, talking to longtime Indians radio broadcaster Tom Hamilton. 28 years with the Indians, man. That's hard to believe. Tell me, you still enjoying what you're doing after 28 years?
I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, Ben. I'm not milking cows. I'm not baling hay. That's work. So I don't want to ever get a real job again. And you know how much fun this game is. And you know, and then you see something you and I were talking about. The beauty of baseball is you don't ever expect to see a 15-game winning streak. And to see what they've been able to do, yeah, it's why you come to the park every day.
I guess that can't be expected or explained. I mean, I saw the last road trip. You guys won 11 games on a road trip. Went 11-0. First team I think I saw in 60 years to do that. That's amazing. You mentioned the 15 in a row. Did anybody – I mean, you knew the team was good. But did you see this coming at all? I mean, why is this, do you think? I mean, is it just the perfect storm? Obviously, it's a great team. The pitching's outstanding. The offense is good, too. But, gosh, to do what they've done as of late is just an amazing thing.
Yeah, at some point, you know, you knew this club would click. And I think there was a World Series hangover, Ben, and it took them a while to get going. Plus, they had eased some of their starters into spring training because of the workload from last October when you, in essence, had two starters because of injuries. Corey Kluber and Josh Tomlin were pitching, you know, every third day. But, you know, you don't put a streak like this together unless you can pitch well. And the Indians' rotation right now is arguably the best in baseball. It's certainly the deepest in baseball. And it started when Corey Kluber came back off the DL. You know, Ben, he's won 12 games since June 1st. His ERA since June 1st is like 1.85. He averages 13 strikeouts per nine innings since June 1st. I mean, that guy, he has such a work ethic, such a routine, and he is so strict on how he follows it, that it's had a trickle-down effect to the rest of the rotation. And so because of that, this club has a chance to win every night because their starter gives them that opportunity. That being said, right now, if there's a ball that's blooped in the air, it's finding grass. And you know as a pitcher how frustrating that can be.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you look at everything they do. I was sitting there looking at the numbers defensively. You guys, you know, number one or tied for number one in the league. So it's really not a weak spot. I don't see anything in this club that says and you mentioned the injuries. That's the amazing thing to me. I know Andrew Miller's been out for some time. Kipnis has been out for some time. Brantley's been out for some time, too. So you guys have actually made this run and had this type of season at this point with some very key injuries to this roster.
Well, and I think any team that's good is going to have some depth because everyone's going to have injuries, and the teams that can handle it are the ones that are still standing come October. And the depth of this organization, Ben, is similar to what it was in the 90s when you had great teams here, and you had Richie Sexson, Brian Giles, and Sean Casey in the minor leagues that had nowhere to go. And the Indians have a lot of young kids now that are knocking on the door. And, you know, I think the key guy of all those guys you mentioned is as good as Brantley and Kipnis are. They have to get Andrew Miller back. And he's a game changer. He's a postseason game changer because of how you can use him with the days off. He should be back in the next week to 10 days. If he's the Andrew Miller that we saw last year and this season before he hurt the knee, then this ball club's got a chance to have a deep run again in October.
Yeah, because I saw him working out earlier off the mound, the game mound, and it looks like, you know, he's pumping at a pretty high rate. The intensity level looked pretty high, so he looks like he's getting pretty close to getting back.
He is, and, you know, they brought him back the last time, and he felt it again, and this time they've been more aggressive. They worked with the Cleveland Cavaliers, knee people, because this is really a basketball injury. Yeah. Most baseball players don't deal with tendonitis, you know, in the kneecap area. And so they've had a different plan of attack. He's been able to keep throwing. And so, yeah, he is close. But, again, you never know until they get him back out there.
And finally, in closing today, tell me a little bit about Mike Clevenger is going to pitch tonight, 8-5 on the season, having a pretty doggone good year. Good ERA is solid as well.
Yeah, he's made that turn where he no longer wonders if he belongs here, Ben. He knows that he can be a quality major league starter. He's got good stuff. The key with him is He just has to keep pounding the strike zone. And if he does, then he's fine. Sometimes he tries to make the perfect pitch. If you see him tonight, Ben, working 2-0, 3-1, you know he's in trouble. But if you see him ahead in the count most of the night, he's fine. It's just when he tries to be too perfect that he gets into trouble.
Yeah, because if you look at the numbers, I mean, the hits innings pitched are outstanding. 100 innings pitched, only 77 hits. And how about the strikeouts? 114 strikeouts. And only, so the stuff is obviously off the charts. 51 walks, and you can see what that probably gets him in trouble. So that's your point. If he gets ahead, stays ahead, it looks like he can really finish you there at the end.
Well, you know better than me. At some point, pitchers have to realize that guy in the batter's box isn't as good as they're giving him credit for. Yeah. He's getting close to that, Ben, but he still will have phases during a game where he's 0-2 and the next thing you know, the count's 3-2.
Well, Tom, I sure appreciate it. Tom Hamblin, one of the all-time good guys in baseball in his 28th year with the Cleveland Indians. Thank you, sir.
Good to be with you, Ben. Thanks.
All right, thanks to Tom Hamilton. Ben McDonald, pretty simple. Indians have won 15 straight in those 15 games, averaging about 8 runs a game, giving up less than 2 runs a game. The starters are 12-0 in those 15 games. As you know, Ben, it's all about starting pitching.
Well, that's where it really ends and begins, and the Indians have been as good as anybody. I mean, number one, when you talk about just the starters, they're the best in the American League. And their relievers, by the way, are best in the American League, too. So they don't have a weak spot. You throw in the number one defense or tied for number one defense, too. When you combine those things with a hot offense, as you mentioned, offense scoring almost 8 runs a game during this 15-game winning streak, it is special stuff. But still, you never would imagine they'd win 11 road games in a row and 15 in a row in this time and age. And so it's impressive, and Orioles certainly have their hands full the next 3 nights.
Well, hey, the Indians have won 19 of the last 21 road games. Hey, maybe the last thing they need was coming home. They're home. Hey, they're beatable here.
It's hard to argue that. I mean, they would like to stay on the road after that 11-0 spurt.
Stay tuned. Oriole baseball is next. Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Ben McDonald back in Cleveland. Well, the Orioles here tonight, they wound up in the loss column. Yeah, the Indians able to put together a 16th consecutive victory. And with Ben McDonald in Cleveland, Ben, it's not just that the Indians have put together a 16-game win streak. It's how they've done it. I mean, in those 16 games, they've outscored opponents 114 to 28. I kid you not, 114 to 28. So, Ben, in the 16 games, they've scored almost 8 runs a game and giving up about a run and a half per game.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, it's better than impressive. I mean, the offense is batting to a 3.18 clip during those 16 games. The starters' ERA during those 16 games is 1.80, and they've thrown 5 shutouts during those 16 games, too. So it's just been dominant all the way around. The fielding percentage is off the charts as well. You could go on and on. So Cleveland for sure is, you know, right now they're the best team in baseball. I mean, I know the of course on the National League side, Arizona's having an outstanding, but I don't know if they've been quite as impressive as what Cleveland has done. So they're a hard team to play right now. The Orioles have to find a way, though. They got to find a way to win the next 2 ball games, because this thing, you know, can get away from them here. If they mess around the Orioles and get swept in this series, it's going to be hard rowing to get back to where they were, you know, just a week ago. So Orioles need to find a way tomorrow and win the game tomorrow and get back into it. But, you know, you got to tip your hat to Cleveland. They were too good tonight. It all began with their starting pitcher, Mike Clevinger. He was really good. He strikes out 7 over 6 innings, of course, didn't allow a run. Oleson, Shaw, and Goody were good in relief. And, look, they got off to a good start. Encarnacion hits a 3-run homer in the first inning, and it almost seemed like the game was over after the first inning.
And you had a feeling right away, Ben, early in the game, first inning against Wade Miley, when he walked the leadoff hitter, which is never a good idea. And then Jackson came up to hit. He hit a hard-hit ground ball right at second baseman Jonathan Schoop. It was a tailor-made double play ball. And it's something you hardly ever see. Scope booted it. He couldn't make the play. Now, they did get the out at second base. When he booted it, though, it blew a certain double play. And right there, Ben, you had a feeling that for the Orioles here tonight, it may not go well.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, that's a play that, again, Scope makes 99 out of 100 times, maybe even better than that. And he did get the out, so the error doesn't show up on the scoreboard, but eventually it did show up on the scoreboard with a 3-run homer. So you had 3 big mistakes. Lead-off walk, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
You had what should have been a ground ball double play that wasn't turned by the Orioles. And then you had a bad mistake made to a really good hitter, a hitter that's pretty hot right now. Wade Miley just grooves a fastball for Encarnacion, who hits it 427 feet to straightaway center field. And that was the big 3-run blow in the first inning. It was almost from that point forward The Indians kind of had their thumb on the Orioles, and the Orioles just could not get anything going. Although Miley battled back and, look, pitched pretty well until the last inning. But in the end, the offense just wasn't happening for the Orioles. The pitching was too good for the Indians, like it has been really all year long.
Yeah, you said it. Clevinger started. He went six scoreless. And, by the way, Clevinger has won three in a row. He's gone 18 consecutive scoreless innings.
It's almost like everybody in their lineup is playing the best they've played all year long. The pitching staff continues to dominate. I mean, look, we talked about a fire on all cylinders. The Indians are rolling. They're a team you don't want to play right now. But, look, this is time for the Orioles. They got to get going. They got to find a way to really get it going and win tomorrow.
All right. So, yep, tomorrow. That's what it's about now, tomorrow. By the way, Minnesota, their game at Kansas City is now in the top of the sixth inning. And Minnesota has a 6-4 lead. Eric Hosmer, though, for Kansas City, just connected for his 24th home run. So Kansas City making a comeback in that game. But again, the Twins ahead 6-4 in the sixth inning. If Minnesota wins that game, the Orioles would then be three games out in the wild card race. Yet right away in the first inning, Wade Miley, he walked the leadoff hitter Francisco Lindor. And then Jackson hit the would-be double play ball to Scope that he booted and got just one out. Then Diaz, he singled. So when Encarnacion came up to hit, well, there were two men on base. Encarnacion, fly ball, center field, backing up. Adam Jones backing up. He runs out of real estate. Edwin Encarnacion has delivered a big three-run home run. And the Indians, again, are off to a flying start. They've got a 3-0 lead. There you go. That's pretty much when the Indians won the game. In the first inning on the three-run home run off the bat of Edwin Encarnacion. Orioles went 1-2-3 against Clevinger in the first. They got a couple of walks in the second, but there was a double play ball. Then in the third inning with two outs, they got a walk to Beckham and then a single by Manny Machado. And so the Orioles had a base runner at second base for Jonathan Scope. Clevinger again comes to a set. Scope waits, and the 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball, got him swinging. He stayed with the breaking ball, and he got him.
Yeah, just an outstanding pitch, a big slow breaking ball, perfectly placed on the outside corner.
Oh, a walk and a single, stranded. Yeah, big strikeout there, and the Orioles did not get another runner as far as second base until the top of the ninth inning. And by then, well, they'd let trail 5-0. In the sixth inning, a double by Diaz to get the inning started. And then after a couple of outs, that's when Santana came up to hit, and he added to the Cleveland lead. The 1-1 pitch lifted toward the right field corner. On the run is Smith, a long run. Can he get there? He cannot get there. That's a fair ball. It takes a big bounce. It's in the corner. In fact, it will leave the playing field. It'll be an automatic double, but the run scores. So Diaz comes in from third, and Smith was out toward the gap in right center, and he just couldn't get there. No, he couldn't. The run scored, and then later in the seventh inning, well, the Indians got one more on a wild pitch with a base runner at third base. That gave the Indians their final margin of victory, and against their pitching, just too good. Clevinger, the starter, he went six scoreless. And then we saw Olsen in the seventh, scoreless. Brian Shaw came on in the eighth inning. He got him 1-2-3. And then Nick Goody came out of the bullpen, and with two outs, he gave up a single to Mancini. Then there was a wild pitch to get Mancini out there to second base. That's when Davis came up to hit, and that's when the game would end. So Davis right back in the box. One ball, one strike. And now Mancini comes off the bag at second base. Indians ahead 5-0. Goody, again, from the belt, he delivers. Davis, ground ball, right side. Lindor's got it. He'll go to first. Ball game is over. And for the Indians, it's a sweet 16. And for the Orioles, it's in the loss column. They lose the first of three in Cleveland. And as for the Indians, as Jackie Gleason might have said, how sweet it is. How about that 16 in a row? Yep, same two teams again tomorrow afternoon. We'll continue with the postgame show right after this. The Orioles in the loss column tonight. They get beat in Cleveland. They lose it 5-0. Some great Indian pitching in the ballgame tonight. After the game, Buck Showalter over on Massa.
Buck, tough start for Wade Miley tonight in the first inning, but then he settled in and really gave you some good innings.
Yeah, there wasn't going to be much margin of error the way their guys were pitching. I can't really fault Wade a lot. You know, could have held him there at three, a little better situation. But, the story of the game, we just didn't mount much offensively. Wade gave us a chance.
Clevinger was on his game tonight and really did a good job mixing up the off-speed pitches.
Well, he and Wade after third inning took advantage of really getting a lot of pitches at the bottom of bottom of some zone. But once you can show you can throw it there, you got to make an adjustment. We didn't do that.
With teams going as well as they are, you know, things seem to happen, like the Santana double that just did stay fair by maybe an inch. Is that just the game sometimes where when you're going well, you'll get those?
Well, first of all, they're a real good club, right? And you keep giving yourself opportunities and putting the ball in play, they've got a lot of pieces, and they got some quality players are out right now, but their farm system and the people that Terry uses it well. They're a tough matchup for anybody, but we're capable of beating them. We just got to do a little better job with the bats. That's a tough, it's one reason why they're leading the league in pitching.
Well, and I thought Mancini's at bat in the ninth inning. I mean, he's down in the count. It's a 5-0 game, and he really battles and gets another base hit. He really has a good idea.
Well, that's a good notice. That's why you love Trey. I looked over at John and said, that's why. He never gives in. He keeps battling. I think that's going to happen his whole career. And it's been fun to watch him this year. He never gives in, and he continues to battle, whether it's effort and the progress he's made as a left fielder alone has made me real proud. But we just need a little more of that.
All right, Buck, appreciate the visit. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.